And now it's my great pleasure to introduce Dr. Mansoor Imad. He was born in Gaza. He earned his first degree from Bethlehem University. He's a PhD in law from Western Sydney University and a senior policy officer with the New South Wales government, working on justice and crime prevention, focusing on multicultural policy and engagement. A Linking Hearts ambassador, he's also shared his expertise in the sphere of domestic and family violence in Australia. He received the New South Wales Premier's bushfire emergency citation for disaster welfare efforts. When I had a little chat with him just before, he also spoke about non-violent resistance and talked about Mahatma Gandhi. And it was a very short conversation that I hope to continue. Please welcome Dr.
Thank you so much. And good to see so many familiar faces. It doesn't get any easier to be here again and call for peace and coexistence. At times, it feels naive. And yes, thanks, Omar, for emphasizing on that point, to actually advocate for just peace during such darkness. I even sometimes wonder if our standing together means ignoring the suffering of my Palestinian people. I, however, know for sure that it is harder to remain silent. It is even more painful to surrender to hate and fear. It would be everyone's loss if we accept dehumanization as the norm of our lives. I come to you today to be the voice of Palestinian children. For once, we need to see Palestinians from the lens of their children. My mom and dad were little children when they were forced out of their village in 1948 and have lived all their lives in a refugee camp in Gaza. I was one of the 15 kids that mom and dad brought to life in Gaza. Let me take you through a journey of what it's like for Palestinian children to live under occupation by sharing a snapshot of my childhood. I was under 14 years of age when the first intifada triggered in 1987. I lived through this life as a teenager under most of those days under curfew. I still remember the first curfew in the refugee camp. We call it the 17 days curfew. It was the longest curfew we lived under. I was only around 14, 15 years of age. As you can imagine, as a teenager living under curfew, what it would be like for you. So naturally, I still remember I broke that curfew so many times where I had to go outside the house. I still remember one day where basically I had to go to the nearby village to actually bring food to my family, trying to be the protector of my family and carrying a bag of vegetables and coming back to a refugee camp. I still remember one day that I actually left the door unlocked and slightly jarred during the curfew where the soldiers stormed inside the house. I was lucky not inside the house. And they actually beaten my dad for not locking the door. I still remember when the curfew was lifted, I went to my high school. As like normal days, we had some clashes with the Israeli soldiers. And then my first experience, when my best school friend got a rubber bullet and that's landed in his head and immediately lost his life. His name is Farid Limghari. Farid would be around my age now. He would be around over 50 years of age. You can imagine the potential and opportunities for Fareed to be like me today, with 7 degrees and having children and living a life of full potentials. And we have lost Fareed, like so many. I still remember as well that one day I was caught being outside the curfew where I was severely beaten and put into in military detention for 7 months. I also still remember one day I was actually standing with, literally, would be Hani, my brother, older brother, standing next to me during a demonstration, and we were arguing together that we should go, perhaps go back home. And he received a bullet inside, got into his tummy, and it was an explosive bullet. He was in intensive care for a few months, but thankfully he survived. When I walked out of detention, you can imagine as a teenager, I was confused, full of rage, not sure what to make of my world as a Palestinian child. Thankfully, Beit Lahem University welcomed me, and I got accepted to study psychology and sociology, full of scholarship based on a humanitarian ground. I actually still remember, weirdly now remember it, the first two elective subjects that I decided to actually study was two things: music, to study piano, and the second subject was actually studying Hebrew. I've never thought it, and it never became clear to me why now, after almost 30 years, why I decided to choose those two subjects. Now it became clear why I decided to choose those subjects. Music to try to heal, Hebrew to try to understand. So instead of trying to understand the consequences of forcing a whole society under military occupation, we sadly normalized hate and violence. For 79 years, we have failed to understand each other. We refuse to accept that we both have equal right to be free and live with dignity. The past 3 years have led to our biggest moral failure by refusing to recognize that we both belong to the same human race. And we share the same precious land. And we both have legitimate needs to be free, to feel safe and free. A just peace can only be achieved by understanding, not through force and dehumanization. The real courage is to refuse that one people is better than another. And the real courage is to stand up against hatred, even when we are grieving. No solution will come out of violence and vengeance. The bombing of Gaza has only deepened the cycle of hate. Looking at you today, however, makes me feel you are the faces of a solution that Palestinian and Israeli people need to resolve the root causes of their conflict, which is the lack of acceptance and understanding of each other. By standing together, you represent hope over fear and despair, equality over supremacy and extremism, solidarity over polarization and discrimination. Thank you for showing the way out of the current mess by reclaiming our moral standard and ending the occupation and coexist equally. Thank you.